Welcome back, sports fans. We have got a loaded show for you today. We dive into James Harden winning the MVP, the NBA draft, Oregon State making it to the College World Series championship, and the Blitz package heats up as we talk about the new redshirt rule in Division I, and how flipping people off has come back in style somehow. But first, here's your jam of the week. This is Summer Nights by Lil Rob. Summer Nights? Summer Nights are upon us, Kyle. That June 21st or 22nd was the first day of summer. I know, it is my favorite season.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the sun comes up earlier and goes down later.
Yeah.
So we get to golf earlier,
mm-hmm.
golf later, and then hanging out outside, you know, between 6:30 and 8:30 while the sun's still out, Well, it's cooled down a little bit, but it's still nice and warm. I love summer.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Every year you know that it's going to get hot.
Right.
It's going to be rough, even, you know, both places that we live, but love summer.
Doesn't matter. The long days, I feel like, make it so great. I love that the sun stays up later. But winter is also hard to beat with Christmas and New Year's. That is fun. And the fall with football. Okay, I guess I like all the seasons, to be honest. I don't know. I didn't really think too much about the seasons until I brought that up. But yeah, I think that they all have their pluses and minuses.
Well, it's interesting because the sports don't necessarily correlate with the fun of the season, right? Like, for example, summer is my favorite season just in general, but it's my least favorite sports season.
That's a good point.
But it's just baseball. But it's vacation season. It's hanging out in the backyard season. It's pool season. It's all those things that aren't sports related. But then when you come to the fall, the weather's not that great, but you got football and you got basketball. Spring is just, you know, the transition from cold to warm, but you have NBA and the NBA playoffs and you know, national championship and all that stuff. So it's good that the fun seasons aren't necessarily the sports seasons because you can just step away from sports and have a good time.
Being the conspiracy theorist that I am, was that done on purpose?
I think so.
I think someone was thinking of us when they created the seasons for the different sports.
Well, think about it from a ratings perspective, right? You want people to be huddled in their house when they're watching sports.
Mm-hmm.
And in June, July, and August, they're not huddled in their house.
They're
doing stuff. They're traveling. They're taking their family here, taking their family there. They're busy. And that's middle of the baseball season when nobody's really going to hunker down and watch a bunch of sports now. October, November, December.
That's true.
People aren't doing a whole bunch. So you can throw those football games on and people are just going to say, well, it's snowing outside, so let's watch the Meineke Car Care Bowl at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday.
That's a good point. Yeah. That is a good point. Anyways, let's just jump right into it. I think the biggest news so far, because like you said, this is a bit of a slow time other than the World Cup. But I know you're not a soccer fan, so, but the World Cup has been interesting, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Former ASU standout and current Rockets all-star James Harden won the NBA's Most Valuable Player Award, marking the first time that he's ever won it. He averaged 30.4 points, 8.8 assists, and 5.4 rebounds. He was the league's scoring champ and led the Rockets to a franchise record 65 victories, which I think had a lot to do with him winning it. But he was the fourth player to average at least 30 points per game and help lead his team to 65 wins, joining Steph Curry, Michael Jordan twice, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the only other three players to do that. What are your thoughts on him winning? I know you're a LeBron fan, so I can almost predict what you're about to say, but what do you think?
So- There's a bunch of different angles to take this. I think one of the things is to talk about the award itself and who it's awarded to, because I think the label of most valuable player isn't super accurate. Mm. And people say that every single year, right? Well, if you took this player off of this team, they'd be worse than this other player. That's fine. So given the way that they award this award, it's a terrible sentence.
No, I love it. That just shows the complexity of the English language. Award this award. How do you use the same word twice?
they give it to, usually, unless there's some statistical phenomenon like Russell Westbrook's triple-double season, they give it to the best player on the best team. And the only reason James Harden won this award is because he led his team past the Warriors to the best record in the league.
Right.
That's it. I mean, that's all there is to it, right? I mean, if I even think that if he was, you know, 2.5 points less than the average on the season, he still would have won it. I think people went into the season thinking Golden State, easy number one seed, easy, you know, NBA Finals champ.
Yeah.
Okay. Second part was right. First part, Houston had an incredible regular season and ended up taking them out, you know, to get that number one seed, and that's the reason he won.
Fair. Yeah, I think the 65 wins helps. I also do think that him being over 30 points helps a lot, right? Because like the stat that I read said, there's only three other people to do it ever. And one of those guys was Michael Jordan, who did it twice. And so I think having that mark separates him. Because if he's at 29, everyone's like, oh, like, yeah, obviously that's a lot of points too. But it's not the 30 mark. And I feel like 30 points over, and I know he didn't play all 82 games or whatever it was. He played like 72 or 71. He sat out a couple. So, but still, 30 point average over that amount of games is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I think people forget that he's made a lot of strides in his game over the last 2 or 3 years. He was a guy before that never played any defense, and right. He's not a defensive monster now, but he's improved a lot on defense. He went from averaging like 4 assists a game to like 9.
Yeah.
So he's made a big point about getting his teammates involved, trying to make his teammates better. When he brings, you know, players into the lane, dishing the ball out and getting guys 3-point shots. So he's done a lot to expand his game over the last 2 or 3 years. He deserves it. He didn't get snubbed last year, but he was right there with Russell Westbrook with the season that he had. So he deserves to get one of these. And the award anymore isn't for the best player in the league. That's just not how it works. They like to spread it around. You know, your team record matters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the reason he won it. So I don't think it was a shock to anybody.
Yeah. Fun fact also, James Harden is the only ever MVP to play college basketball in the state of Arizona.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Luke Walton didn't win?
I don't believe so, but he should have at least. Like when he was playing, it was the same thing that they talk to LeBron about these days. Like, oh, of course, we know he's the best player. But we can't give it to him year after year after year. So,
That was a men's league. Yeah. Sorry, I got him confused.
Oh, anywho. Other notable awards from the NBA Awards night. Coach of the Year, won by former Raptors head coach Dwayne Casey. And Rookie of the Year, Ben Simmons ended up taking that. So, just to get this straight, the MVP, in your opinion, wasn't really the MVP. The Coach of the Year got fired. And the Rookie of the Year wasn't a rookie. What the hell is going on in the NBA?
I think that is so funny.
It is funny.
It's just, I don't know. It's a regular, they're all regular season awards. Mm-hmm. And it's hard that they release them after the playoffs are over because you see the whole playoffs play out. I did it again. You see the playoffs play out and... people start to shift their mindsets and their thoughts about how these people performed, how, you know, this coach and Dwayne Casey coached his team, how James Harden, you know, collapsed in Game 7 against Golden State. And you start to shift your opinion of these players. And then afterwards they release these words and you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant's way better than James Harden. Dwayne Casey got fired. How could he be the coach of the year? It's obviously the Boston Celtics head coach. Like,
right.
You start to shift your opinion. So I think, you know, it's tough though because you can't involve the playoffs.
Yeah,
because that's not the point of the award. That the NBA Finals has their own set of awards. You don't have time to put it between the regular season and the playoffs. The NBA is kind of in a little predicament. But I do like them having like a little ceremony and doing the whole thing because people are going to watch it. Why not?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's hard because it's really just a regular season focused set of awards. The one that stands out to me the most, though, is Ben Simmons. And I know we've talked about that before on this podcast, but I don't know how you consider a guy who's been in the NBA for an entire year, regardless if he's played or not, a rookie. I just don't. The coaching, the training, the medical assistance, the film watching, all of those things for an entire year in the NBA. I don't get it. And it'll get into one of my questions that I have for you later about the new red shirt rule in Division I sports, which I'll ask you about. But very similar, where it's like, I don't know. I think Donovan Mitchell or Jason Tatum should have won it. Also, though, that does go back to your point of you can't take the playoffs into consideration, right? Because Jason Tatum was decent throughout the regular season. He was pretty good once Kyrie Irving went down. But, you know, I think in the sense of the word, if Ben Simmons was an actual rookie, I think he should have won it. But with the 1 year under his belt, I don't think he should be considered in the discussion. And for that reason, I think Donovan Mitchell should have won it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rookie is by definition, and I think we looked this up a couple months ago when we were talking about it, but it's just their first year in the league.
Right.
It's his second year in the league. I don't care if he played or not. So for some reason, he like blows his ACL out and sits out. He pulls an Andrew Luck and sits out for like 7 years. Then in his eighth year, when he's like 29, since it's his first time starting, he's a rookie now? Yeah. No. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you include him as a rookie, obviously he wins. I mean, he had an incredible year and even led his team, you know, pretty far in the playoffs, which isn't considered, but.
Yeah, and I think, so to that point, I think one of the things is like, if you're not in the NBA, right? So if you go to Europe for a couple of years, or if you're in the developmental league or the G League or whatever they call it now, or in Costa Rica or wherever, and you play there a couple of years, you should be a rookie the first year of your NBA career. Right. So if you come in as a rookie and you're 26 years old because you played elsewhere, I can see that being the case. But if you come in as a 20-year-old and you sit out a year, but you're in the NBA, I don't think you can consider that. I don't know. That's just my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. I don't think you should count it.
Agree to agree.
Play in the playoffs. And what was the other one you said?
He was awarded the award.
Oh, so anyways, congratulations to former Pac-12 standout James Harden, whose game has developed almost as much as his beard has.
His beard's terrible.
No, it's great. It's you don't like
it's
it?
It's gross.
No, I like it.
Do you know what's under there?
Well, I think it takes some serious... You don't have a beard. It takes serious commitment to grow something like that out.
I'm not doubting that. It looks weird. I mean, he wouldn't be the same person without it, so... He's kind of stuck.
That's kind of like become his identity, right? Like he is the beard. He can't ever get rid of that.
Fear the beard.
Literally, he'll never get rid of that.
I'm afraid of it, so I totally understand.
Oh, well, let's stay in the NBA. The NBA draft also occurred last week on Thursday. 7 Pac-12 players were selected. The big story, obviously, number 1 overall to the Suns was DeAndre Ayton. The mountain of a man from the Bahamas. Number 15 overall to the Wizards was Troy Brown from Oregon. Number 23 overall to the Pacers, Aaron Holiday from UCLA. Number 46 overall to the Rockets, D'Anthony Melton from USC. Number 49 to the Spurs, Chimezi Metu from USC. And number 58 overall to the Nuggets, Thomas Welsh, UCLA center. And number 59 overall to the Suns, George King from Colorado. So a couple huge names were left out of the draft, obviously from Arizona. Trier and Raleigh Alkins were two names that were thrown around as being guys that were going to be taken in the second round, and both went undrafted. So that's big news. But obviously, what stands out to you from those guys drafted? Number 1 overall, DeAndre Ayton, obviously is just 7'1", 260-pound freak athlete. I don't know how that even happens.
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton's obviously going to get the most attention. He's going to have a lot of expectations, you know, going in. It's tough. Phoenix, I mean, they just seem to just draft high every season, and they just can't get anything together.
Yeah, they've been awful.
They're terrible. So hopefully he could do something there. I mean, I think he's going to need to perform and do something over the first 2 or 3 years. Otherwise, he's going to be considered a bust. And like we talked about last time, big guys in this league, it's so hard to make an impact because I think as a big guy, you need pieces around you to be able to make that work. You need a point guard, someone that can feed you down low. You need a coach that can run a system to get you in the right position. You can't go out there with a bunch of scrubs and dominate as a big man.
Right.
Like you need pieces. So
it's not the time of Shaq anymore, where you just throw it in down low and you let somebody go to work. Right. Like it's so much more of space and pace, where these guys everybody can shoot. They're all on ball screens. You're going to get those big guys out and see if they can guard a guard. Whoa, mm-hmm. I just did it too. Guard a guard. But yeah, I think DeAndre Ayton, despite his athleticism and his production as a freshman at Arizona, he's going to be put to the test because it's a whole different ball game with these guys that can all shoot, can all run, and how they're going to use him, we will see.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, the game used to start, offenses would start down low and come out, and now they start out and go in.
Right.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see how he transitions. I think going outside of the Pac-12, interesting to see how Trae Young does.
Oh, yeah. It's a good point.
I mean, he ran his mouth a lot.
He did.
Going up to the draft. And
he wore shorts to the draft. A short suit. What? What is that? That is a terrible look. I just can't get on board.
I mean, was he hot?
They got to be. It's got to be air conditioned. I don't know.
It's just, but I mean, everybody's following in Russ's footsteps. Everybody wants to be that guy with the craziest outfit and the most swagger and the guy that's doing that whole thing. So
yeah, that's a good point.
He started that, but I mean, he doesn't necessarily fit into what today's NBA wants. Also, smaller guy, shooter,
right?
Not as speedy and as athletic as you would like him to be at his size. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he does with Dallas, a team that's, you know, pretty much rock bottom at
right,
this point.
Right.
Obviously, everybody in the top five is, but, you know, Dallas needs to turn it around. And Mark Cuban's not going to sit there forever and let this team be crappy.
He actually got traded to Atlanta.
Oh, he did?
He did, yeah. So him and the other guy from Slovenia or Europe or wherever, he played for Spain, but... let me look up his name real quick.
Luka
Doncic.
Yeah.
So they traded the rights. So he's in Atlanta.
Atlanta's as we stated last time, last on Vegas' odds to win the NBA Finals.
And I can't imagine they're actually any better now that they have Trae Young. But yeah, I'm actually one of the picks of the whole thing, and which works out well for us in the Pac-12, is that I think that Aaron Holiday pick to the Pacers is going to be pretty good. Him as a 6'1", kind of scrappy, get to the rim, can do it all. He scored a lot at UCLA, but him with Victor Oladipo, I don't know. That's pretty impressive to get somebody that can do similar to what Victor Oladipo does, not necessarily as athletic as him, but he can shoot, he can drive, he plays defense, like he does all the little things that you want in Aaron Holiday. I think that's going to be a great pairing. I love that.
Yeah, Victor Oladipo, most improved player.
Yeah, exactly. And he can sing. Did you see those videos of him singing?
Oh, yeah, he can sing.
And that's right up my alley. He's like that like late 90s, early 2000 R&B feel. That's what I'm into.
Where was he before Indiana? OKC, right?
OKC, yeah. And before that, he was in Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah.
He was good in Orlando. And then in OKC, it just didn't work.
I mean, you go with Russ. It's a different type of game. You know, he needs to be kind of as ball dominant, I feel like, as Russ is. That's why the Pacers were good this year, because he can score. He can do it all. So interested to see how that plays out.
So OKC wanted guys that are less ball dominant, so they picked up Carmelo.
Yeah, exactly. And that did not work out for them at all. And Paul George.
Perfect. That makes perfect sense. Oh, speaking of OKC, now Russ, KD, and James Harden have all won MVPs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, man.
And they were all on the same team.
Over there?
But can you imagine, if they were all on the same team right now? There would be no passing. There would be zero passing in that. Like, one guy would just go to the rim, or one guy would just go one-on-one. I feel like it'd be very boring.
KD works well off the ball.
That's true. He does.
Off picks and stuff. He doesn't need the ball all the time. Yeah. But James Harden and Russ need the ball.
All the time.
So, although Chris Paul and James Harden work well in Houston, so...
But that raises the question, do you think, whatever that was 3 or 4 years ago when they made the trade to Houston and they gave up Harden, was that the right person to give up?
I mean, maybe they should have given up Russ.
Right, that's retrospective, and I don't like saying that out loud, but maybe, right?
I mean, he's the guy that hasn't really accomplished anything since. I mean, outside of
MVP
and everything, to the level, but as far as like playoff success, right? And not that Houston's gone to the finals, right. But you know, they're kind of on the up and up, and James Harden's just gotten better and better, and I feel like Russ just kind of sitting there doing his thing, putting up stats, and not really moving that team forward.
Right.
Yikes, who would have thought that?
I know, right? Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, I think everyone would agree that Kevin Durant is the most valuable out of the three of them. But yeah. Knowing what he did going to Golden State back then, if you had to choose if you had 3 years with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook or Kevin Durant and James Harden, what would you take?
Yeah, Kevin Durant, James Harden.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, I think the whole situation was they just didn't want to pay Harden, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was the sixth man of the year, and he was like, but everyone knew, like, this guy's going to be a star, so he's got to get paid like a star.
Yeah, so they just thought, no, we're good. We got Russ and KD.
Yeah, which almost worked.
Which almost worked, yeah.
They were up 3-1 against Golden State, and they lost a 3-1 lead. I mean, that's almost unheard of, except that it happened twice. In 2 years, because Golden State did it to them, and then LeBron did it to Golden State in the final. Right, so, right. Yeah, whatever. But I mean, yeah, that's an interesting thought. But yeah, that's pretty crazy how all three were on the same team at one time, and two of the three of those are Pac-12 players: Russell Westbrook, UCLA;
that's right.
James Harden, ASU. A lot of good Pac-12 players in the NBA right now.
Yeah, there is. You're right.
Also, this is going to be a live update as we transition slowly to, okay, College World Series. So, Oregon State lost, they made it all the way to the College World Series Championship. They lost the first game to Arkansas. It's a best of three series. They lost the first game 4-1. So, they're playing tonight, and if they lose, done. If they win, goes to game three tomorrow night. They came back, scored 3 runs in the 9th to win 5-3.
Woo!
So it is now tied 1-1. The final of that will be tomorrow night. Oregon State, Arkansas. That is pretty awesome. And not only that, before that, the Beavers won 4 elimination games in a row to advance to the finals. So they had beat Washington and North Carolina. Then they had to beat Mississippi State twice. 2 out of 3 times to advance, and they had an explosive win in the first game, winning 12-2. And then the second game, they had a 5-run third inning and a 7-inning strong pitching outing from Kevin Abel to defeat Mississippi State, winning 5-2. So they ended up beating Mississippi State twice in a row to go to the finals. They lost that first game to Arkansas 4-1. Then they won the second game 5-3. We are now in a game 3 final for the College Baseball World Series Championships.
So awesome.
That is pretty awesome, right? I mean, Pac-12, we need a little pick me up, especially on the men's side. The women have had a hell of a year, and we'll get into that next week once all of the yearly tournaments are done, and we'll talk about how the Pac-12 fared over the year. But let's pull it out, Oregon State. Let's do it. We got one more game. Oregon State, Arkansas.
We need some postseason success, man.
We do.
We do. We need it. We need it so bad.
Because basketball was awful. Nobody advanced past the first round in the March Madness, and the and football was even worse. What did we go, like 1-6 or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's 1-6.
Yeah, and we had some bad losses too. Not even like where they were close. I feel like Washington was the only close one. To Penn State, wasn't that kind of a good game?
It was a decent game. Who was the one team that won? It was like the first game.
It was like Utah. I feel like Utah won.
Utah won like one of the first bowl games, and then we just got crushed after that.
Yeah, so we need some postseason success for sure. So Oregon State, we're rooting for you. Go Beavs, except I'm a Ducks fan. But in this case, I'm a Beavs fan because it's the final. So
go Beavs.
Go Beavs. But you have some news for us as well, if I'm not mistaken. Kyle, with the news, we're going to jump right into it. That's where you give the 1 to 2 minute update, and we play the 1 Minute Man song by Missy Elliott and Ludacris.
Let's do it.
As a timer. Here we go.
All right, so I'm going to switch it up a little bit. We have some conference medal winners here that have been announced for the 2017 to 2018 Pac-12 season. Conference medal winners have been named every year since 1960, 1961 academic year. In 2009, the Pac-12 renamed the award to the Tom Hansen Conference Medal in honor of Hansen, who retired at the end of June 2009 after serving 26 years as the commissioner of the late, great Pac-10.
Oh, okay.
So here are the winners on the men's side. So Dasan Rustic for basketball for Arizona. From Arizona State, Cody Justice for basketball. Okay. From Cal, Luca Capito for water polo. From Colorado, Peter Brestad for skiing. Not all schools have that, obviously.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
From Oregon, Kyle Kasser for baseball. For Oregon State, Jack Anderson for baseball. Not a big shocker there, right?
Yeah.
For Stanford, Foster Langsdorf for soccer. Langsdorf. For UCLA, Martin Raslicki for tennis. From USC, my boy Jordan McLaughlin, basketball.
All right.
Utah, Martin Bergstrom for skiing. From Washington, Colby Goldberg, cross country and track and field. And from Washington, Luke Falk for football.
Washington State.
Hold on. Washington State, my screen cut off.
Yes.
And that's Kyle with the news.
All right. Very cool. That was a quick update for sure. Things are obviously slowing down in the Pac-12 right now because the school year is coming to an end, and the only sport that is still currently going on is baseball, if I'm not mistaken. But great news. Good for us, you know? Let's get into the Blitz package. I've got a lot of fun questions for you today. I'm on summer break. I work at a school, and I have a lot more time on my hands these days. And so I feel like I have some good questions for you with some, things that might put you in a tough spot here and there. This first one, though, we're going to just kind of the Blitz package for our new listeners. We have a lot of new listeners, Kyle. This is great. This is good for us. So I want to explain it again to anyone that is new to this show. The Blitz package is where we develop questions that the other person does not know that we're about to ask. And like I said, we try and put each other in awkward and tough situations, but we must come up with an answer. They can be about sports. We've asked about cutting sandwiches and the Titanic and NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys. So this can literally go anywhere. Nobody knows what's about to happen. And so this will be a lot of fun. So I can start. This is a sports related one. The Division I Council, as of June 21st, recently approved a proposal that will allow student athletes to participate in up to 4 games without burning their red shirt for the season. The rule will preserve a year of eligibility while still allowing some wiggle room for an athlete who hasn't yet used his or her red shirt. I want to focus this question on football because I feel like the 4 in football has a pretty big impact. What are your thoughts on the new rule?
So is it 4 games for all sports?
All sports.
Whoa, that's super different.
That's super different. And that, yes, yes. So go ahead.
I think I like it. I don't think I'm opposed to anything that can extend college athletes' eligibility. I think that, you know, give the kids a chance to do the whole thing where they have 5 to play 4. Mm-hmm. If they, and this is just limited to, let's say you play 3 games and then that's all the games you play and that's fine. It doesn't have to, you don't have to get injured or be academically ineligible or anything like that, right? It's just you play 4 and then you stop playing and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You take a red shirt, right?
Yeah. So it's either that, it's either you are like playing immediately and you get hurt or something. And so then if you haven't played in more than 4 games, you can red shirt and have an extra year, or which is where I'm coming from as far as my counter argument for a lot of these things is that you can do what a lot of these smart coaches will do, especially in football. And they will let these guys practice. And then the last 4 games of the year, start those kids, those young kids, the freshmen, but then not have to actually count it.
Yeah, but it's even for everybody.
It is, right? It is. I just feel like
across the board. So, I mean, why not let everybody do it? Everybody can get those young kids in, you know, 8-9 games of practice where they really feel like they're good, and then kind of let them feel it out the last 2-3 games of the season. They can hit the ground running sophomore year or redshirt freshman year.
But I want to bring up a little bit of the hypocrisy of your comments about Ben Simmons. How is playing four games in one season and then getting that season back as a freshman the next year not the same thing as Ben Simmons taking a full year off in the NBA and then being considered a rookie?
Well, first of all, I'm against Ben Simmons as being a rookie. I agree with you on that. And he didn't play any games. If he would have played, so four games in college football is like a third of the season. If he would have played 25 games, and then per the football rules, you would say he was still a rookie, right?
Because right.
he'd like be redshirting. Mm-hmm. But pro sports is different than college sports. In college sports, you only have a limited time to play.
True.
Right? So give the kids the amount of time. The kids that are all world are going to start right. as 18-year-olds.
Right.
So you're not affecting those kids. You're affecting the kids that aren't ready when they're 18 and they go to these programs. Give those kids an extra year of eligibility. That way they have the shot to play that fifth year. And maybe they get drafted and they can make a professional, career out of sports. Whereas, you take that year away and maybe 4 years isn't enough for them.
That's fair. I feel like for me, though, I stand on if you're going to redshirt a kid, it's because you don't think they're ready. And to give a kid an extra third of a season to play, especially in football, like, that's a lot of time. I guess I don't agree with the four games because I feel like that's too much. Like, that's literally a third of the season. I feel like if they did two games, maybe. But I also then understand the counter argument of, well, what if a kid gets hurt at the end of his second game? Then he has to waste a redshirt year because he played two games and blah, blah, blah. I get that. I just feel like this is a little bit on the overside of what I think kids should be given as far as playing extra before it counts as a redshirt year.
Yeah, it should be a percentage. You right. got to look at it sport by sport. It's got to be a percentage, right? You make it 10%, give or take. So, basketball or baseball, whatever the numbers are, you take, 10% of those games, you're allowed to play those. For football, it'd be two.
Two. Yeah. I would be much more comfortable with two.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you can sit a kid, you can tell them, hey, we're going to redshirt you. And four or five games in, you see how they're doing against scout team. You see how they're doing in practice. And you're like, wow, this kid actually may have a little bit of skill. Let's try him out the next couple games and see how he does. And then if he does great, he's got half the season to still play. And if he doesn't do great, then you use him for two games and you say, okay, hey, no more for you. We're going to redshirt you. But four games is like, you could literally play a kid in the last three most important games of the year and the, Pac-12 championship game because he becomes the best player out there. And then he doesn't have to use it as a year. So he still gets four more years of eligibility after that. I don't think that's fair.
So one thing to think about here too, is think about injuries. Think about the team and as a whole, right? Especially in football, when you get down to the eighth or ninth game in the regular season, how much depth plays a role in how these teams can go into the conference championship games and then into the bowl season. If this becomes a role and the rule and the coach has the ability to build up his talent going into the last four games of the season, and he knows that if some of his players get injured, but he can rely on his red shirts
right.
to fill in that gap, then maybe those teams that are really good but just get riddled with injuries can still compete, and injuries aren't going to take a great program out of the season. For example, if you're USC and you got great running back, a couple great linebackers, all of a sudden those linebackers go down. Well, maybe you have two 18-year-olds
right.
that can fill that void at week nine, to where USC, who has been the best team all year, hopefully,
right.
can still be great going into the Pac-12 championship game and in the bowl season. And a couple injuries don't ruin their season. So I think it might give the good teams the chance to keep that depth, going into the back third of the year.
That's fair. And an example that pops into my head as of last year, actually, was Alabama. Alabama lost like three of their starting linebackers. Mm-hmm. And if Alabama didn't feel like, oh, hey, the kid that we're playing into redshirt isn't going to lose a year if we start him or play him for the next 2 weeks until these guys get healthy, it won't affect us as much. I get that. That's a good point. I think that college coaches are going to be smart and use this to their advantage in a way that is not necessarily in the spirit of the rule.
It's fair though.
It's as long as it's across the board, I understand that it's fair. I guess I just don't like that necessarily.
It's like Shinnecock. Yeah, those pin positions suck. but it's the same for everybody. You know?
That's true. I just don't, I guess I don't like the feel of it. Like, I like knowing that a red shirt year means like, hey, we like what you have potentially. We're going to train you. We're going to give you everything we got as far as weight room, as far as nutrition, as far as classroom and academic stuff, and teach you the defense or offense or whatever position you play, but you're not going to play this year. And next year, when you have that all under your belt, it's your time to shine, as opposed to now it's like, hey, we believe in your potential. We're going to give you 4 games to just kind of see where extra at, see where you're at. And then if not, screw it. We're just not going to play you for the year and redshirt you.
I want to see the best product that college football can put on the field. And this gives the fifth-year senior who played 4 games as a true freshman that opportunity to get 1 more year to be better, which would make the entire college football world better.
Fair.
It's the opposite of what the one-and-done rule does in college basketball. Fair. Instead of taking the best talent out of the sport right away, you're keeping that talent in longer.
For a little bit longer.
Obviously, the Reggie Bushes of the world come out after 3 years. The Sam Darnolds of the world come out after 3 years. That's not going to change. But some of those kids can really develop in 1 extra year, and you're going to get a better product on the football field. And I don't think anybody's against that.
But don't you see – I'm not against that. That is a good point. But don't you see? Also see this as a potential way to increase the amount of transfers that happen? Right, because if you're second fiddle, if you're second string, and some kid plays the last 4 games of the year and in the bowl game because that's what they want, and that kid doesn't have to use his red shirt, and you know, hey, this kid's gonna play in front of me next year, I'm gonna transfer.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not a big fan of transfers.
Right, and I feel like that's what's gonna increase the amount of transfers, is because kids are gonna start seeing the writing on the wall when this kid who's a freshman, who didn't play the first 5 games, but now he's going to finish the year out because he has 4 games to just kind of burn no matter what, is going to play in front of me. And then again next year, and I'm not going to get any reps in the game to show what I'm worth. They're just going to transfer. So, I don't know. Pluses and minuses, but that's why I brought it up, because it's a tough blitz package question.
That is a good question. And you said that that's going to happen, or they're thinking about it?
It's approved.
Oh, it's approved?
Yeah, right. It was approved as of early last week when summer also started. Yeah, so summer brought some new changes.
So then our boy JT,
yeah,
for USC could get a solid shot.
See, and that's my point, right, is for him, you could say, okay, we're going to give so-and-so a chance for the first couple games. Then if it's not going the way we like, even if we're winning, guess what? JT, you get 4 starts right now to show us what you're worth. If you kick ass and take names, you're going to continue to start. We're not going to burn a red shirt. If you don't, guess what? We're going to cut you off. We're going to go back. We're going to take what we can. You're going to start next year. I guess I don't like that. I guess it works in USC's favor, but I'm just saying, I don't necessarily like that in the grand scheme of things.
Let's see how it plays out and see if, you know, those cons that you're talking about, you know, really tend to take place.
Yeah, and I think too, what you said would be good if they actually looked at the percentage of the season. Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Like, 4 seems like a lot to me.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyhow, good debate. Good first blitz package question.
That's all a good right. One.
Yeah.
All right. So my first one has to do with reality shows.
Okay.
So non-sports related, unless you consider them athletes, which some of them are.
Some of them are.
Big Brother starts tonight.
Okay.
I'm a huge Big Brother fan. I think it's a great show. In a reality show situation, whether it be Survivor, Big Brother, The Challenge, pick your poison, right? There's 2 types of players. Mm-hmm. There's the honest, moral player that plays with his values that he deals with at home. That's his conviction is who he is on the show, is who he is at home. And there's the guy that goes in strictly playing it as a game. He's there to cut throats, take names, and take cash. Mm-hmm. In the reality show situation, who are you and why?
This is a real moral dilemma for me, because I am uber competitive, but I also feel like at the end of the day, like, I'm the same kind of no matter where I'm at. And I feel like eventually my natural personality would take over and I would just be the nice guy, you know, try and keep my word, do all that, because I think that's what I would revert back to. But I don't know, because I'm so competitive that at times I don't know. I think that I might take the thing that would help me win, especially when there's money on the line.
Think about it, like $1 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of cash. I would stab somebody in the back for $1 million. I mean, I would like to think that I would stay true to myself for as long as I possibly could, and then to the point where it would cost either me winning money or someone else winning money, I think I might make a move that would put that into jeopardy.
It's a tough one. So I think one of the things people think about the most is they have a plan going in.
Right.
And then you start to realize how your game that you're currently playing is affecting other people. And if you think that that's going to last you to the end, and maybe you shift and you go another direction, you pivot, or you just say, no, this is working. You keep going. Right. So for me, I'm, you know, as competitive as you are, and I'd want that money no matter what. And I watch these shows and I think, who cares if that guy hates you now?
Right.
Who cares if you did that to this person? Like, it's a game. The whole point, the only reason anybody's here is to make money, to win.
Right.
But I know that I'm a terrible liar. So if I was going to play that whole devious schemer role, I feel like I would just blow it like day two.
Right.
So my coach would be like, Kyle, they're not going to vote me out, are they? I'd be like, no. you want some cereal?
Yeah.
It's
pretty hot out here. It's pretty hot out here. There's some snakes and stuff. You know, this is not good for us. He's like trying to change the subject.
I would be terrible at lying. And so that would be one of the hard. I feel like I could go up and I can make alliances with people, and I can, you know, make moves and keep stuff from behind people's back.
Right.
But if somebody asked me a question,
you would be honest.
I don't know how I would not answer it truthfully, or if I lied, I would sound like my voice would go up like 10 octaves. They'd be like, why do you sound like that? And you're like, well, I don't know.
Oh,
but I'm being truthful, I promise you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. That's a good question. And I feel like, to bring it a little bit back, that's why I like the challenge. Because the challenge is not only is it a social game, but then you have to prove yourself physically at some point. Right? Like, I feel like Big Brother is a very social game, but there's very little like actual like competition. I feel like, is there? I don't really watch Big Brother.
No, there's a lot of competition. It's not as physical as the challenge.
Okay.
But like every other competition is like endurance and stuff like that. So you have to be an athlete.
Okay. Fair enough. I didn't really know that, but I guess that's why I like watching the challenge, because it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you can do as much as you want, but at some point, if you get put in, you've got to perform. It doesn't matter what your alliance is. It doesn't matter what your game strategy was. If you're in and you have to beat somebody else to not get eliminated, then you got to prove yourself, and that's it. And it doesn't matter. Anything else outside of that doesn't matter. I don't know. I want to believe I'm a good person, and so I feel like I would be honest, but I also, $1 million is $1 million, you know? So I don't know. I don't know.
That's the misconception about these shows is, just because you're a good person doesn't mean you can't be the devious schemer in a reality show.
It's true.
It's a game. Like, yeah, you are ruining people's lives. We're not ruining people's lives. You're hindering people's lives by taking the money away from them. But it's kill or be killed, man.
Yeah.
If you're not going to win, it, somebody else is. So what are you supposed to do? Just say, well, at least I was the nice guy. No. Yeah. Come on.
It's Darwinism.
I would try hard.
You would try hard to lie and it would not go well.
Yeah, it would go terribly.
Speaking of Darwinism, let's go into my second Blitz Package question. If Jurassic Park was real, would you visit it?
Whoa. my mind is blown.
This is because the new movie is coming out.
It's like the trips to space that they have these days.
Yeah.
It would be, you think Disneyland is expensive? You've got to take a cruise ship to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and like hang out on that island for like 2 weeks. Like, that's like a legit $75,000 vacation.
Right.
But if I could afford it and it had been there for 2 or 3 years and nobody had died, absolutely I would go.
But that's the if, right? That's the if, because the thing is, every movie something goes wrong because they're dinosaurs.
In the first one, they didn't even open. Like, the people were there to check it out.
That's
just
true.
To like give it the thumbs up, and right, for the attorney to be like, yeah, there's no liability here. Like, you guys are good. And all of a sudden, like, everything went to shit. And then, like, in the second one, it was still, you know, crazy, and then it's just going from there. So
yeah.
No, yeah, if it had been there for 3 or 4 years and nobody had died, then I can afford it. Absolutely. How cool would that be? I mean, the movie is cool, let alone going.
The movie is cool. However, here's my thing. This is how I would treat it. I would treat it as if, you know, when you look into like all inclusives and they say, this is how much everything costs. Unless you want to do this, then that'll be an addition. Unless you want to go kayaking on the bay, it'll cost you an extra $150. I would treat it like that. I'm going to vacation here. If nobody has died in the last 2 years, I will pay the extra money to go see the dinosaurs at Jurassic Park. But I would not go. That scares the hell out of me. I'm scared of snakes. Like, dinosaurs are basically the steroided version of snakes that can run and eat the hell out of you. And I don't think that I would want to be around them.
Yeah, I mean, can you take your kids? Is that even okay? Like...
No,
they would have nightmares forever.
Forever, yeah. Because then it's like, I mean, we went to that Dino Days. I'm not afraid to admit that we went to Dino Days. And like even some of those were like, wow, that's like, if that was a real thing, that would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah,
it's kind of scary now popping out of the like little exhibit that it's in, and I don't know if I would ever actually want to see that. And it especially. Especially the velociraptors. Those scenes scare me because they're fast. And I...
Oh, my gosh.
Like, there's... You have no chance. No chance of survival.
You have to think about the size of the animal compared to how scary they are, right? And I think people forget that most people are afraid of, like, spiders.
Right.
And they stand no chance at, like, running you down. Right? Like, you'd have been outside just, like, sprinting for your life from a black widow. Like, you're never gonna... And it's, like, back there just, like, running full speed, like, galloping like right. an antelope. Like, no. They're slow. Just don't run into one, right?
Right.
Think about like a 3-foot snake is in a bush, and you kind of like end up getting close to it. Like you jump.
Right, and you're out of its reach.
Yeah, those animals are like a foot long.
Right.
Think about like a 250-pound dinosaur like jumping out of a bush. Like it's unfathomably scary.
It's like if Reggie Bush was chasing after you. He's gonna catch you. There's no if Reggie Bush was a dinosaur. He would catch you and eat you.
You could zigzag as much as you want.
Yeah.
But it's going to get you.
Did that Reggie Bush velociraptor take a lot of money to be a dinosaur, though, and break NCAA rules is the question.
He's an illegal dinosaur.
And is Pete Carroll behind the scenes just kind of...
just strings.
Yeah, is he just doing the whole damn thing behind the scenes? Anyways, I thought that was fun because I really do want to see that movie and it's going to be a good one. But I didn't know if I would actually go. I didn't know.
I love Jurassic Park. I love the song.
Song's great. Song's great.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of crazy animals, I have three extreme sports. And I read an article the other day about extreme sports and people dying or something. And I also saw a Facebook video about one of these, and I thought it was just crazy. And so it got me thinking about if I would do one of these three things. Well, two of them. Yeah, the third one's kind of crazy. And what would you do? Like, would you take the opportunity to do one of these things? In this question, you have to choose one.
Oh, okay.
Damn no matter it. What, right?
All right.
So of these three things, what would you rather do? Number one, the running of the bulls. Number two, base jumping in a wingsuit.
Oh, man. Okay.
Or number three, streak at the Super Bowl.
Well, streaking at the Super Bowl has some legal issues that are attached to it, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and your package is exposed to the world forever.
That's a good point.
So, you know, all things considered, choose one.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man. I think I would do A or 1, running with the Bulls. I feel like... Why do I keep saying I feel like twice? I don't understand what's happening. It's because we got into the award and the award situation earlier and the player and the player. And so I feel like that is the most contained situation possible. They know, the humans know what the route is and where the dip-off points are. Bulls don't. They're just going to run. And they're going to, as long as you don't get caught, you're okay. But I feel like base jumping, oh, hell no. That scares the hell out of me. I would never skydive. I would never base jump. I would never do anything that entailed me jumping out of something that relied on me, something grabbing air and floating me down to the ground. And then I would never streak at a Super Bowl. But does that mean I get to go to the Super Bowl? Can I streak with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, so I get to see the large majority of the game before I streak? Or is it at halftime? I don't remember what you asked.
No, there was no there were no guardrails around it. If you have a ticket to the Super Bowl, you watch most of the game, and at the end, you know, you take all your clothes off, and hopefully it's not snowing, and you take a chance.
I would go running with the Bulls, because that would also mean that I'm most likely in Spain, which I would love to be in.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I would do the running in the Bulls. I think that there's just way too many things that could go wrong with base jumping in a wingsuit or skydiving or all that kind of stuff. I would have skydived before I had kids.
But not.
If somebody said, hey, we're going to do it tomorrow, I'm paying for it, I would have been like, you know what? Screw it. No. I would have done it. I would have crapped my pants. But I would have done it. Streaking at the Super Bowl, I really, it's not always cold. A lot of times it's in a dome, but say it's in New York.
Yeah.
I really don't want to get hit by a professional safety.
Yeah, that's a good
running
point.
Running full speed, naked. Like that, there's not a lot of things that sound worse than getting clocked by an NFL defensive lineman when you're running naked across the field and having the entire world see it happen.
That's a good point.
That does not sound fun.
And then you also have to go to jail.
Then you got to go to jail.
And pay money to get out.
And you're naked. Do you get clothes when you go to jail? Like, what do they do in that situation? I don't know any of those things.
I would think that they give you clothes, but I'm not sure.
Whose clothes? Are they too big? Are they too small? Are they women's clothes? Like, has somebody worn them before? Like, there's so many things.
so many questions.
Have previous streakers worn these clothes? You know what I mean? Like,
it's a streaking wardrobe.
There's too many unknowns.
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, my last one for you. There have been multiple incidents within the last, like, 40 hours of people flipping off other people in broad daylight. One of them, Bill Russell, flipped off Charles Barkley at the NBA Awards. And just today, or yesterday, Diego Maradona, I'm sorry, well, that was rough for me. Diego Maradona, who is a famous Argentinian soccer player, after Argentina won, flipped off the crowd. Double birds. So my question is the bird or the double bird the most disrespectful sign that you can make to somebody else?
I mean, what are the other options?
It's Maradona. Why did I have such a hard time saying that? Did I spell it wrong? I think I spelled it wrong. Let me look it up real quick. Diego Maradona.
There's only so many disrespectful signs, right? Oh, I feel.
Yeah, let's get into this. This is where I have a couple listed that I think would be fun.
I feel like what Baker Mayfield did is way more disrespectful.
Okay, so I had that written down. I had the Baker Mayfield crotch grab, but I also have the suck it sign.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's super immature, though, right? Like, the suck it sign's kind of like, okay, dude, like, we get it.
I feel like grabbing your crotch is more disrespectful. Yeah. Like, everybody has been flipped off, I think, at one point, or seen somebody flipped off. Like, they've seen a middle finger. Everybody has a middle finger.
Right.
It's not that weird. But to have somebody, like, look you in the eye and then, you know, grab their crotch and, like, shake it.
Yeah.
And then automatically, without consciously knowing it, you look down and you see their junk being grabbed and shaken. Like, that's very disrespectful.
And most of the time, that's after a very demoralizing thing anyways. Like, he threw a touchdown, and then he did that. And it's like, okay, double whammy. The bird, I feel like you can just kind of give whenever you want, right? Like, somebody's walking down the street and, like, looks at you weird. You're like, hey, man, take that with you, you know? And then, like, like I feel like it's much more of a cordial, like, screw you. if that makes sense.
I feel like it's most common in cars.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, somebody cuts you off, you flip them off. Somebody, you know, pulls out in front of you, you flip them off. Somebody gives you a dirty look, you flip them off. Mostly because, you know, most are more often than not, they're not going to get out and charge you.
Right.
But I feel like if you were in like traffic, somebody cut you off and you like got out of the car and like went to the driver's side and then like grabbed your crotch and was like, hey, take that. Like, you might be getting in a fight that day.
Yeah. And this question led me to also think, is the dab the new like suck it sign? I feel like when we were in like middle school and high school, like people just used to like walk around throwing that at each other just like because it was funny. Now people walk around just like dabbing, dab, dab. I don't know. Is that the new... The dab isn't as derogatory?
Is it derogatory?
No, not at all.
I feel it's cocky. It's arrogant.
That's true. It's cocky.
It's not derogatory, I don't think. I think like I think you have to think about us. I think you have to think about, gosh dang it.
I think you have to think about.
Like a 75-year-old woman is walking by you and she sees you do X symbol.
Right.
The more offended the 75-year-old woman is, the more derogatory. Like if a 75-year-old woman saw you dab, she'd be like, what is that whippersnapper doing over there? Like she wouldn't know, right? But if she saw you like grab your crotch, she'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
She would like, have a heart attack, right? So think about how your grandma would react, and that's the most derogatory.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I feel like the older generation would maybe consider the bird being very derogatory.
Yeah, but have they ever had somebody grab their crotch in front of them?
I don't know.
Like, I've flipped people off all day long on the freeway. I mean, not like all day, every day, but like, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
But I would never like grab my crotch in front of somebody. That's just rude. Like, you'd have to do a lot to me to have me do that.
That's true. That's a good point. All right. That's all I had. But I just thought it was funny that Bill Russell flipped off Charles Barkley and Diego Maradona flipped off
the and whole... I feel like the middle finger could be used like in humor.
That's true. Like, oh.
Like as a joke. Like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Should have said that word. Bleep that out.
I will. I'll give it my best shot.
Yeah, you can just be like, oh yeah, take that, and it's like, oh, you're funny, like,
yeah,
I made fun of you and you gave it back, like, it's hilarious. But you don't say something to somebody and then they grab their crotch and you're like, oh, that wasn't funny.
That was, yeah, that was gross.
That was gross, inappropriate, man.
The only other sign I could think of was the this is really good radio talk right now, but the hand under the chin, like, flick.
That's what I was gonna say, this thing.
But like, that's more of like a,
is that like Italian?
Yeah, something? Yeah, I feel like that's like a, oh, what do you, like, come on. I don't know. I don't know what it means, but that's what I feel like.
What about the, like...
You can't see what Kyle's doing, but he's doing the uppercut.
Yeah, like, that's like a really big middle finger, isn't it? It's like, the size of my middle finger doesn't do this insult justice. I'm going to throw my whole hand up in the air.
This might be a topic for another discussion, like what the most insulting combination of these things would be. If you had to pick three things to do back to back to back to really, really piss somebody off, what would you pick?
You gotta end with the crotch, like right before you.
Yeah, for sure. Ending with the crotch is such like an exclamation point.
What about mooning somebody?
No, that's funny. Randy Moss did that. Randy Moss did that to the Green Bay fans, didn't he?
Yeah, but he like left his underwear on.
That's true.
Yeah, he's not that dirty.
Oh, anyhow, that was fun. I feel like we leave the best discussion for the end. We should put this at the beginning of our podcast.
We would never finish.
We would never. Do you have another one?
My last one was just to talk about the World Cup, Germany, Mexico. I don't really have a question.
Okay.
I thought that Germany almost getting swept in their group was insane.
Insane. And they won it last year.
They won it last year. I watched their second game against, gosh dang it, Japan or something.
Yeah.
And they were down.
Oh, no. Yeah. South Korea. I'm sorry.
They lost to South Korea today, but who did they play in the second game?
Oh, let me pull it up. Hold on. I don't know, but they...
Yeah, they were down like 1-0, and they finally came back 1-1, and then they won in like stoppage time with a crazy bender. Like, they almost lost that game.
Oh, Sweden.
Sweden. And then they lost the first game against Mexico, and then they lost this game, and so they're out. They literally almost got swept, so unbelievable. I think you know, I'm rooting for Mexico. They're our neighbors. I know they're our rivals as far as soccer goes, but we're not in it. So yeah. I want them to go really far. I was bummed how they performed today. They got killed today.
But they made it. And that's all. And that win bumped Sweden up to first, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but it just sucks seeding-wise, right? Like, you don't want to run into a hot Portugal or Argentina or England or somebody like that, right? You would like to have reasonable games to get yourself into the quarters of the semis and make something happen. So that's a good point. Seed.
Mexico faces Brazil in the first
round. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's not... Ooh, that's going to be rough.
And if they would have won, they probably would have faced, you know, the Congo or something.
Switzerland.
Yeah, they could beat Switzerland.
They could, yeah. Sweden, yeah. Sweden faces Switzerland. Sweden faces Switzerland. So these are the games so far of the teams that have made it to the next round of 16. Uruguay plays Portugal. France plays Argentina. Brazil, mm-hmm. Mexico, Spain, Russia, Croatia, Denmark, and Sweden, Switzerland. There's still four teams left to make it. I believe Belgium and England are both in no matter what, even though they play each other. It's more who's going to take the number one seed and who's going to take the runner-up. The other bracket is what is appealing, which is Japan, Senegal, and Colombia. Japan and Senegal both have 4 points, and Colombia has 3, but Colombia plays Senegal, so the winner of that will go on, and Japan will go on no matter what. Poor Poland is just kind of getting beaten up in that one.
I think round of 16 starts Sunday.
Yeah.
So that'll be June 30th. That'll be really, really when it gets exciting for me, because it's hard for me to get, you know, I wake up at 6 a.m. with Cole, my youngest. And I watch like an hour of TV before I get ready for work, and the World Cup's been on because it's early in the morning, which is great. So I watch like the last 30 minutes of these games, and I'm like, oh, 1-1, 25 minutes left. This is awesome. I watch the end of it. You know, it's 1-1. It goes into stoppage time. This is great. And then stoppage time ends. I'm like, all right, well, 1 point for each team. I'm like, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so much anticipation for nothing.
But the good news is that now that they're in the knockout round, there's no more ties.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So that's why the round of 16 is so exciting, because watching the last 20 minutes of the game is great, because you know that if it ends in a tie, it's going to get real intense.
It's going to get real. They're going to go to, I believe they go like 15 or 20 minutes extra time. And if not, PKs. Oh man, PKs are awesome.
I think they go 30 minutes extra time, 15 minute segments.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot.
They play a lot of soccer before they go to shootouts.
The big news for the World Cup right now is that if Portugal and Argentina win their first round of 16 games, Messi versus Ronaldo in the quarterfinals.
Whoa!
Which would be pretty freaking awesome.
That's probably going to happen.
So
Argentina's been sketchy, though.
Yeah, Argentina's been sketchy. Portugal probably has a better chance of beating Uruguay, but France has been looking really good, and they have, like, what a lot of the experts say as the most talented team across, from, like, Spain and Brazil, and Germany, which, shocker, they didn't make it. So
much for that.
Yeah, apparently they didn't have that. But, yeah, so apparently France is one of the top three teams. So, but, you know, Argentina has Messi, so who knows? I would love to see that. I mean, I would...
Oh man, it'd be so cool.
I'm watching that game no matter what.
If it's 5 a.m., I'm setting my alarm for 4:45.
Oh, I was surprised. I'm surprised at how much of a World Cup fan you are, considering you don't really like ties.
I know. Only because my brother-in-law. Shout out my brother-in-law, David McCullough, big soccer fan. His boys play soccer. Only reason I watch soccer is because they watch soccer, and so talking to him kind of gets me into it, and then. It's been on in the morning, so I've been waking up early. So I've started to I like to be into sports. So if I could just take a couple games to get myself into it, then I'm into it.
Absolutely. And I feel like when I watch the World Cup, first of all, it's truly the world's tournament. The NBA is like, oh, you're the world champion. But it's like, okay, we only play teams from the United States and Canada, which I understand is the best talent, but it doesn't mean you play teams from Spain and blah, blah, blah. So it's really not necessarily that. However, when I watch it on TV and I see the fans and how much it means to them, I wish I could be a quarter passionate about something that these fans are for their teams. It is insane to watch them. They're crying and they're yelling and chanting. It's just, it's unreal.
It's everything to them.
Everything.
Everything.
I love it. Anywho, well, that wraps up this segment of the Blitz Package. That was a good one. A lot of good questions in there. Anything else before we sign out?
No, that's it. We'll have more World Cup over the next couple weeks, which is awesome. So, yeah. See what happens.
Yeah, World Cup. Go Beavs tomorrow night. Game 3, final. So go Beavs, World Cup, and we will see what happens on the Kawhi Leonard and LeBron watch, because that is in full fling right now. So we'll have more updates for everybody next week. But Kyle, thanks for coming on. That was a good one.
Love it.
All right, same damn thing, same damn time, same damn. That's another one. The damn.
Oh man, I'm the devil words.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right, bye. Dolled up, staying passenger in my rag and Paula.